Okay. You can slowly, mindfully come out of your meditation. Yeah? Then we shall continue with our next session. The next session is question and answer Q&A, followed by a review of the Heart Sutta short notes. So this Heart Sutta short note was done by us to develop the proper understanding of the Dhamma and the meditation as taught by the Buddha. You can ask any question regarding the meditation, the Dhamma, and real life application of the Dhamma. Okay, now we will open it up for question or reporting of meditation. If you got any meditation reporting, you put up your hand, we will pass you the mic. The mic is in front here. Anybody? You just have to report exactly how you do your meditation. Then you got any question, you can ask, no problem. Yeah. Then I will know how to guide you, advise you. Just now I just explained to you the important aspect of understanding the real meditation as taught by the Buddha. But I haven't really go into detail as how you can develop it. But if you have the understanding, you will know how to meditate. Because whatever they teach you, whatever method technique, you just check. Does it lead to mindfulness, awareness? Does it make my mind aware? If that is the case, then good, use it. But if it doesn't, then you have to modify it. Instead of focusing, concentrating, or doing all those funny things, you just forget about it and develop mindfulness of the whatever object of meditation is. If you want to develop mindfulness of anapanasati, you just go into anapanasati. Or if you want to use the tradition of Thailand, Buddha, when you chant Buddha, Buddha, you must develop awareness. Awareness of that chanting, like Mahayana chanting. Sometimes they chant, Amitofo, Amitofo, Amitofo. Or whatever, Quan Sing Pusaya, same. You chant until there is no one chanting, until the awareness and the vibration become one. That is sati. And when you are in sati, that's how your spiritual faculty or sati comes about. There are five spiritual faculty, you remember? First one is sadda, the faith in the Buddha and his teaching. I have already explained. Through knowing who the Buddha is, how special a being he is, and how wonderful the teaching he has taught. So your faith is there. Then this faith will drive you to cultivate. That's why you will have virya, the spiritual zeal or spiritual tenacity to cultivate. And what do you cultivate? You cultivate mindfulness so that you can be ever mindful to cultivate Noble Eightfold Path, the meditation as taught by the Buddha, and make you heedful. Then you are home. That's it. That's what meditation is all about. So simple. So easy. So with that, I believe you will know what to do. Then you will not be gullible like most people. When you do without understanding, you become gullible. Why? Because people tell you, you just do lah. This is meditation. And you just do without knowing what you are doing. Then how can you progress? How can you develop the condition for awakening? Without understanding, you cannot do. You are like being gullible, you believe, you never find out, you never investigate. And what happens if what they tell you is not the truth? Doesn't lead you anywhere. Because they themselves don't understand, that's why they teach you what they heard, or what they have learned from other people. But if they understand, they should be able to explain to you based on what the Buddha has taught you or taught us. So it's very simple. And how you do it is up to you. The approach can be many. So if you were to read my blue book, Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, part one, I have given to the new people, I think. Danny and Richard. I cannot remember your name, Richard. Yeah, Danny can. Yeah, I got one clan, Kayamita, Danny Tay. But Richard, I don't have a Richard yet. Now I try to remember. So the blue book, you go back and read. That one I have teach during the early day when I started at Suyan's house, where I realized these people find it so difficult to develop the spiritual faculty. And they are so addicted to method and technique. In fact, when I went there, I was told by Mi Fong, he said, most of them are doing rising, falling, the so-called Burmese Vipassana. I say it's okay, as long as they can maintain mindfulness of the rising and falling without thought, then it's still okay, it's still mindfulness. Your mind at least trained to develop mindfulness. But you don't go and focus there. Don't every time go and do that, thinking that if you don't do that, you don't note rising, falling, you are not meditating, you are not doing Vipassana. If you do that, you are being gullible. But you don't know what that is for. Like I say, the method, the technique, the rising and falling, is for you to train your mind, to anchor your mind so that it does not wander off. So what I saw was, people cannot be in the state of meditative state, cannot be in the state of silent awareness to start meditation. For me, my nature from the past, I know what to do. I straight away silent and I develop the meditative mind, the true mind. I don't do all those things. Of course, I try Anapanasati. Then I find Anapanasati finally also return to what I was doing. Because my Anapanasati from the past, I have done it before that, I very fast develop it. That was 30 over years ago when I started. In fact, when I was in the university, it was almost 40 over years ago, 1975. The first day, I don't even know how to meditate. I went and listened to a talk by a monk. The first day at the uni, first college, somebody took me to science faculty. Then the monk that gave the talk was Venerable Dhammananda, the late chief Dhammananda, Dr. K. Sri Dhammananda. I remember he spoke very good English and I was very, very happy, very impressed. Then he pointed to the forehead now. He said, look into your mind. So I thought that was my mind. I don't know anything at that time. I was very new to meditation. But I have faith. Then I went back. I wait till my roommate sleep. Then at 12 midnight, I sat now. I don't know how to sit on. I don't know how to meditate at all. But somehow, now only I know it's Anapanasati. The Anapanasati came. And I become so quiet, so still. My Anapanasati, very fast, the mindfulness become very quiet, very still. Then I remember Chief Rava say, look inside. So I look inside. My brain here. Then I saw a white spot. Then I just curious, I focused, stuck there. Then I was thinking, if I can focus, I might as well give it a push, see what happens. Then my mind, I can just give it a push, and that consciousness went in. And it traveled out into infinite space. Then I realized this mind is so different. Then after a while, to me, it's not long. I think at the most, total, I spend half an hour doing those things. Then my mind withdraw. Then I become so calm and so still. And I don't know what was that. Then I decided to come out of the meditation. So I checked my watch. I thought 12:30. I saw 4 a.m. Means I've been sitting there for 4 hours without me knowing it. And I got no pain, nothing. That's why whatever I do, it comes back to the silent mind. That's why I know anapanasati, finally you will reach the stage where your mind hardly breathes. They call it the subtle breathing. Everything like stop. And that is the mind in sati. That is the true mind, tranquility, stillness of mind. And that is the meditative mind. Then that one, I realized the slightest movement is aware, is like magnified. Then I saw everything that I want to understand or know. I just put that mind there. That is like magnified. Oh, the vibration, everything like magnified. I don't need a stethoscope to feel my heartbeat. I just stay at the heart, the heartbeat very clear. Oh, then every movement very clear. Oh, the mindfulness just pick it up. It's very sensitive. It understands so many things. That's why what I went through was completely different from what you people do. Then later on, when I was ready, I didn't even want to share. We had no condition, so nobody really approached me except a few, one or two occasions. They come, they talk to me, then they left. But 15 years later, in the year 2004, Yun Chan came because she organized the only spiritual trip. They are Vipassana Society, slang of Vipassana. So I told my wife, I want to understand what the Buddhists are doing nowadays. After 15 years, I also seldom go to temple. Then I applied. Then she came. Then at first she told me, full. The trip is full. Everybody, because they register the people whom the society register first. So I was late, I think. By the time I send in my thing, they receive it late. So I said, never mind. Put me on waiting list. Then later on she called me and said, Ratio, you are lucky. We are you and your wife. So I choose you. Two of them withdraw. That's why I went for that trip. And because of that, he came and see me. Need to collect money. And all that. Then we talk. Then he realized from the conversation that I understand a lot of things about Dhamma. Then he always tell me, why not you come out and share? And for on 3 occasions she came, 9 o'clock, around 9 o'clock at night, evening. He talked until almost 12 o'clock. The first day I remember until the husband called up, check where is she. Then he said, "Oh, coming home." Then second time also like that. Third time also like that. That's why finally he made the request 3 times. 3 times also I said, never mind, don't worry. When condition is there only, I will know what to do. Then after she went back, for the 3rd time, suddenly my nature inside tell me, hey, about time you come out and share. The condition is there now, ready already. Huh? Ready already. But what I was more concerned is, what I'm going to teach and share is totally different from what people teach. So what will happen if people who don't understand and simply say things, karmically it will hit back. My nature didn't do anything. Then inside tell me, you set condition, why you worry? Then I reflect, I connect, then I came out with 3 very good conditions. You can go to my website, brotherteo.com. The brother is brotteo.com. You go there, you will. You can Google, then you can get the website. Then you read up about my 3 conditions and how I started and all those things. Then you will know. So because of that, when I came out to teach, I realized people doing all the meditation, following method, technique and teacher without understanding what they are doing. That's why I have to reverse my teaching. I have to slowly let them understand through the words of the Buddha. Not that I need all these words. I need some authority so that people can accept. Otherwise, they look at me, lay person, not even a monk. How can he just share things like that? Never heard before and never written by any book. So this will shock people. And people have problem trying to accept this. Initially, it was not easy. Even when I go into the three turning of the Four Noble Truths also, they cannot understand. The five aggregate of form and mind, they also cannot understand. So I realize what they need is basic Dhamma. That's why I, later on, Sui An, Mi Feng, and Ying Pi asked me to share and teach meditation at their Subhang house. I think that one also almost 7 years already, or maybe more. 10 years already, when I went there, you asked them and see, on the whiteboard, the essential Dhamma is the same one. Five mental hindrance, five spiritual faculty, then the three evil roots, and a few more of Dhammapada words. Every day is on that thing only. But all explained in under different conditions, different circumstances, and different examples. Then people start to develop the understanding. Then later on, I make use of J. Krishnamurti's teaching, where he is very famous, but he has nothing to do with Buddhism. Then I was able to link the Buddha's teaching with his teaching, and it matched, even though different words were used to describe them, but everything matched. If you understand the meditation as taught by the Buddha through what I understand, then everything matched. That's how the faith developed. Then what I did was, I had to come up with some understanding so that people can also follow certain type of skillful means to meditate. Because not everybody is born that way, I realize. At first I thought everybody was like me. You need to have some understanding of the Dhamma, the truth. Then you will know what to do already. It's very easy, you do. I realized not like that, not the same. And what happened was there are some even having trouble understanding the basic thing that I try to share. But this, they seldom heard. It's very, very rare to them. So I finally decide to share in one of the Thursday class, a typical Thursday class. So I started off with that mind sweeping method together with metta. I combine loving kindness with mind sweeping method. And I realized that it's good because in the early day, I recall I was doing metta. Then I actually followed that instruction, the mind sweeping method. I think it was taught by Reverend Mahinda. Then I find my mind very quiet also when I do that. So when I did it, then I realized, hey, this is a good skillful means to decondition your heedless thinking. Because when the five mental hindrances are there, you think a lot, isn't it? So when you think a lot, what are you supposed to do? You are not supposed to suppress, control, and focus. Understand? If you do that, you are fighting the mental hindrance. The problem is not the mental hindrance. The problem is you lack the opposite five, spiritual faculty. When the spiritual faculty are there, the mental hindrance is. Because all these five, they counter them. Then I realized, in order to allow them to have a way out, let's say if they have not developed the five spiritual faculty and they still want to meditate. So how to meditate? That's why I combine the mind sweeping method and the loving kindness metta to bring about inner peace, inner calmness, and inner awareness followed by inner well-being. That's why I use that. Then I realize the mind sweeping method is very good. Because you start by relaxing your body and mind. Then you bring your attention to your forehead. And you know what you do? You're supposed to feel, not supposed to think, feel. any tension, any tightness, any stress within, what you do? Relax into it. You understand? By relaxing into it, you don't think. Clear now? You just feel relaxed. Then you sweep it down to your facial muscle or your eye muscle. Do the same. Feel, relax. Feel, relax. So indirectly, instead of thinking, you are now feeling. And the feeling is very near the no thought state. Because you just feel, feel. You don't think. Understand? You feel, relax. Feel, relax. So after you do the whole mind sweeping method, your mind is like deconditioned into a new way of living. Instead of heedlessly thinking and reacting and allowing the thought to proliferate, now you just feel, relax, so your mind becomes more and more quiet, more and more quiet, more. So this one I realize can help you decondition your heedless thinking. Then after that, you like very quiet, very calm, no thought, aware, but not stable. Not stable. So how to stabilize it? I combine with anapanasati. That's why after that I say you go to anapanasati. You stabilize it to anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. Then a lot of them told me like that is easier to do. That's how they develop. So that two book, the book that I give to you all, they are part one and part two, but I brought only part one. Later on, if you want to have part two, you either come to my house or you go to the website. It's in the website, my Kayamita website, just now that brotherteo.com. So if you follow that one, it's simple. It helps you to decondition your heedless thinking, and the loving kindness bring about inner well-being. The mind sweeping method decondition your heedless thinking. So temporarily, it helps you to stop the thinking. But it's not a permanent fix. It's just temporary. It's a new way of living. You are now feel relaxed. Feel relaxed. So over a period of time, it will decondition the heedless thinking and it will make your mind just feel relaxed, peaceful. Relax and peaceful, relax and peaceful. Then with this inner calmness, inner peace, you develop loving kindness. You radiate love and metta. You say, may I, this body and mind of mine, be well and happy, well and happy. You feel the inner well-being and the inner happiness in you. And this vibration is very positive. Because these are positive metta state. Then your cells, all your cells, they will recuperate because of this positive loving kindness energy, the well-being. Then it will help to boost your immune system and make you happy. Bring about inner calmness leading to inner well-being. And then you can meditate. Then after that, anapanasati to stabilize the mindfulness. Final result is the same. Until your anapanasati finally become very quiet, very still. You will experience piti, you will experience sukhang, but you don't attach to sukhang. You continue to relax into it, silent, until it become very quiet, very peaceful. The problem with those doing the vipassana, the so-called rising, falling vipassana, when the rising, falling become very subtle, what do they ask them to do? What do they ask them to do? They tell them to go to sitting, touching. They go and verbalize again, no? Why you go and do that? When you become very quiet, very subtle, means your mind is trying to enter sati. Means your mindfulness has reached a stability where you will try to be in sati by itself. Means the mind is aware on its own. That's why after that, when you come out of the meditation, that mind that is in sati will be able to see things in sati, hear things in sati, smell, taste, tactile, feel, and think in sati. Everything is in sati. Then you start to see things as a flow. Like everything slow down for you to see. The speed is actually the same. just daily. But now your mind is aware. That's why your mind and the phenomena move as one. We call it specific phenomenal awareness. And that mind that is in sati is so different, it's so sensitive, so full of awareness. And it can make you aware in the midst of life, in sati. And during that time when you want to meditate, it's very simple. You just relax, silent. You are in a meditative state already. No need to train, no need to do anything. That is what meditation is all about. So hopefully, for those who are new, you go and read through that book, then try it. Yeah? It will help you. But if you choose to maintain your method, your technique, or your object of meditation, I leave it to you. As long as you understand what you are doing, are you training your mind to be mindful? Then are you able to stabilize it to be ever mindful? Those two questions you must ask. If you can, no harm, just do. Then when your mind finally enters sati, you will understand what I'm trying to explain to you or share with you. Then your meditation will become very different and you will progress very fast. You will have the ability to understand many things. Okay? Okay, one more time. Anybody want to report meditation? Eh? Nobody? Or ask any question? Yeah. Pass the mic to Richard. The cordless mic. Yeah, pass. Yeah, Richard, yes.
I normally do this by this teacher called Dhanapati. The simple way that he taught, and I think the simple way for me to follow is that the thought is something like, you know, the grab, your thinking is just like the grab, the car keep on going.
Yeah, because they want to know. The mind that is kipoa want to know, so it get involved in everything. Understand?
So it says that as long as you don't jump into the grab, the taxi, then it's okay. You just watch it go by and watch it go by. Is that actually mindfulness?
No. What he is trying to teach you is a skillful means. You know what is a skillful means? It's one of the techniques to train your mind. So the third way that the Buddha teach, you remember? Just aware. What does that mean? If he understand, then he can use it. If that teacher who teach you. Understand means what? Thought is dependent originating. Condition arising. Understand or not? Do you know how thought arises or not? What create thinking? Who think? Is there a thinker behind the thought? You have been creating thought for so long, since young until now. Do you know who is thinking? Is there a thinker behind the thought? Okay, fair enough. The mind create the mundane mind that think, but that mind, is it you? Is it you? Does it belong to you? Why is it not you? If it's not you, why did it arise in you? Then who are you? What are you? That's why the Buddha taught us the five aggregates of form and mind. He said our human being is just a five aggregate of form and mind. You familiar with the five aggregates of form and mind? Not? Namarupang. You familiar? Huh? You haven't heard of that. You heard of the First Noble Truth, Final Summary or not? You heard of it, huh? The Buddha said, in short, it is due to your self-delusion that condition you to grasp and cling onto this five aggregate of form and mind, the upadana khandas that I call dukkha. You heard of that, huh? So that is suffering. Because of self-delusion that condition you to believe this form and mind is you. And when you attach to this five aggregate of form and mind, you will suffer, the Buddha said. And what is that five aggregate of form and mind? This one can rub. I will explain to you the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind. He said, the first aspect is as a human being. We have a physical body, okay? So this is the rupa, the form, the physical form. Then we have a mind, the consciousness inside, and its content. So this mind, he said, can be subdivided into four more aggregates. You familiar with the four aggregates of mind, right? What are they? Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana. You familiar with the Pali word or not? Or not familiar? What can your mind do? Your mind can feel, isn't it? Can your mind feel hot or cold? So that is one of the aggregates. Understand now? Your mind can feel. Then what else can your mind do? How do you understand my voice? How do you see me? How do you understand what is written on the whiteboard? You have the ability to? How do you know things? You have to perceive it, isn't it? Karena, that is the power of perception. That is sanya. Understand? Feeling is vijnana. Vedana. Sorry, too fast. Feeling is the aggregate of Vedana. And the Buddha said your mind can feel, your mind can perceive. That's why it's called Sanya in Pali. Then what else can your mind do? Every day you do one. Think a lot, isn't it? Thinking is Sankara, mental activity. Understand? That's why these are the three aggregates of mind. Then the last thing that your mind can do is what? It can be conscious. Conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you taste, what you tactile, you feel and think. True or not? That one can follow, huh? Yeah. So the Buddha say, you have a form, you have a mind. Okay? So, first aspect, five aggregate of form and mind. First aspect is as a human being. So as a human being, like I explained just now, you have a physical body. Yeah? My drawing is no good, huh? I have to use this. Yeah? So this is a human being, right? You got a physical body. Physical body. So this one, the Buddha called it the form. Physical form, eh? Or physical body or physical form. That's why this is the form. Eh? Then you have the other one is the mind. So this mind is basically your mundane mind, thinking mind, the first aspect. So the Buddha said this mind you can subdivide into four more aspects. So we went through just now, your mind can feel. So this is the first aggregate, feel. Or Vedana. Then your mind can perceive. Perceive is Sanya. Then the third one is your mind can think. Arise mental state. Yeah? Think, arise mental state, etc. Actually, everything that your mind can do is under this one. So this one is under Sankara. Sankara. Then the last one is, the fourth aggregate is, your mind can become conscious. So the Buddha called the last aggregate consciousness, or vijnanam. It can become conscious of what you see, what you hear, what you smell, what you tactile feel or think. So this four plus this aggregate of form, this is rupang or form. Rupa or form. So this one plus four become five. He said if you attach to this five things, you will suffer. Upadana khanda, you grasp, you hold. We put the test. If I think this human being is me, the physical body is me, do I suffer? Yeah? Do you suffer? You worry about it getting old, getting sick, and die. Correct? Then the second one is feeling. If I attach to feeling, do I suffer? Nice feeling, you crave, positive, grabs, you want it, repeated. When it is not repeated, you become unhappy. So feeling, when you attach, you want good feeling, don't want painful feeling or negative feeling, then you always suffer. Because the world is the way it is. Sometimes, without sickness or what, when you are normal, when you are having good life, happy life, you are peaceful. You are happy, no suffering. But when you attach to something, when you cannot get what you want, when things don't go your way, or the first noble truth reality happen, then you want things your way. You know? That type of feeling you don't want, or unpleasant feeling, or like pain, disease, sickness, fear, worry, anxiety, pending death, all that type of mental states and feeling you don't want. No. That's why you will suffer when you attach. Yeah, use your mind. Use your mind. Wait. Use the mic for the recording. Yeah. You were asking where does the conditioning come in?
I asked this question basically because I just became a grandfather.
Oh, okay.
All right. So when my grandchild born, and he know nothing, so innocent.
Yes.
So because like when they talk about feeling, thinking is we have been conditioned to the child.
Correct. So you let your child taste the sour thing,
Yes.
Then you tell him this is nice, or her, this is nice. She will grow up going after sour thing, I tell you. Sweet thing he don't like. Because the conditioning when she was young. But the Buddha said, no matter what your conditioning is, whether it's sweet or sour, follow society's convention or not, you will suffer. Because you have preference. Understand? You want that type of feeling. But the world is the world, no. It's never the same one, no. Good feeling also will change to unpleasant feeling, no. Because life is that way, unless you have the wisdom not to allow it to disturb you through wisdom. When you have wisdom, then you got equanimity. You can see things as they are, you can accept the reality of the moment. So got condition to eat good food, I eat. No condition, I accept. I don't suffer anymore, isn't it? But if no condition also I nghe like I want, then what happens? Then you start to get angry, isn't it? Why you bring me to this tour? If I know the food like that, I don't want to come. Then become what? Misunderstanding, anger, hatred. Even if you don't know, even that guy has not told you, but when you go there, the condition is like that, things are like that, you either accept or pay more money to try to get it, if there is condition to get it. Somebody has to pay. But you don't have the means, and you don't want to pay, and you want to have that type of food, then you are talking about right and wrong. Then it becomes argument. Then it becomes problem, understand? Then somebody will suffer, understand or not? So this is how attachment come about, because you have difference of opinion. You are being conditioned this way. We are Asian. We have Asian mentality. We have Asian thinking. Yeah. Then some people, when you travel as a group, as an Asian, you go to foreign country, especially Europe or US or UK, you know what the group will tell you? He say, every day also quite low chan. You understand? The breakfast, everything also, what you have? Bacon and egg. or the Western food one. But luckily now got Asian, got continental, got American, so not so bad. Otherwise, you boring, is it? Why every day also like that one? Look for Asian food, where you got craving for your Asian food, understand? Then some opposite thinking of what you think one. He say, hey, we are Asian, no? Sek fan, sek mkau eh. In your country, every day also eat rice. You come here, you want to eat rice. Eat Western food. Because that guy like Western food. So how? You want Chinese food, Asian food? Because after a few days, you cannot take it already. Then that guy want Western food. So the two of you, sure, have different opinion. And then it depends on your tour guide or the person who organized your tour. If he is smart, if he is a person who understands the situation, then he will tell you, okay, don't worry. You want Asian, I take you to Asian. You want Western, I take you to Western. Or we can go to one where there is Asian and Western. Then you solve the problem. Understand? But not everybody is so understanding. Understand? Because he is going to tell you, I am just a worker. No? I work for my company. No? And my company already booked everything. No? I cannot change. No? I don't have the power to change. No? Understand? He already booked this restaurant, no? Lock door tank, no? Understand? Then he's going to tell you, what about tomorrow? I have to call my boss. Then if the boss can save money, of course he will tell you, go ahead. Cannot save money, he say, hey, they say, 保姆也做. All this type of thing will surface. No? So, in life, when you have like and dislike, when you cannot understand condition, you cannot accord and flow, you will have suffering, because there will be this duality, good and bad, right and wrong, pleasant, unpleasant, this duality. But if you have the Dhamma, you can come to terms with the reality of the moment and understand, then you resolve it amicably. Understand? Huh? You discuss with people, and if people can give it to you, because you have been reasonable and understanding, they will definitely make you happy. You are the client, understand? They also get no more business from you. So it's your understanding, how you apply your understanding, which is wisdom, to resolve all this amicably, so that everybody is happy, satisfied. That is what Dhamma is all about. But as long as you don't have the Dhamma, you want things your way, you will create a lot of misunderstanding and problem. So coming back to your question, the child, when does it acquire the conditioning? Is that your question? Push it out all the way.
I'm just curious.
Yeah, it's on already. Oh, no. Somebody help him. I think the button you didn't push up all the way. Okay.
When we had lunch just now, we had the small thing, there's a food for thought. Is there, I'm just curious, all right? Yeah. Is there a way that we can train a child that way? Rather than, you know, being us growing up now, then only to realize...
You bring out a very
maybe
good...
Maybe to be a better grandfather, taught them earlier?
Yeah, you bring out a very good discussion topic. This question was asked by the public to J. Krishnamurti. You don't know J. Krishnamurti, yeah? You heard of him, do you understand what he's trying to teach or share? Can you understand?
Which book is it?
It's an
e-book my friend sent to me, talking about
Oh, okay. He got a lot of very good book. You know, he condemned our education system. He said, our civilization is mad. He said, what type of education are we teaching our, like you say, your children, maybe now your grandchildren. So he said, this is not educational. This is conditioning. No? This is making them worse. No? You know what our education is or not? It's all about competition, understand? No? Competing with each other, good grade, everything. And acquiring knowledge, not wisdom, not understanding. So when you are trained in such an education system, what are you being told? You must study hard. Do well. Go into prestigious college and university. Graduate, and you can get good job, high pay. Understand? So the motivation is what? Successful. Good academic. Good qualification from prestigious university. Then maybe you go to, they call all the famous MBA course. Maybe one of them is, the most famous one is what? No, INSEAD is second. Before INSEAD is, not Oxford, there's another one. Harvard Business School. Everybody want to go there. You're very prestigious. Then my son went to INSEAD, which is another branch of Harvard. Because the French guy who graduated from Harvard, he loved that education system. He started one in France. Then they got three branch campus. So all these are teaching you to be aggressive, smart, motivated by big paycheck, income, understand? But do they have moral? Do they have wisdom? Do they have understanding? That's why you are killing them. Because their motivation is completely different. And education is not supposed to be that way. That's why they got preference, they got desire, they got ambition and all those things. And these are all craving and desire, understand not? To reach the top, to be successful and can have authority, power, prestige, everything. So people ask him that question. Then how do you teach, is it? What type of education are you talking about? Like what you want to do, huh? Can we teach them from young instead of letting the school education to teach them all those rubbish until they become so conditioned like us? Why can't we teach them to be human? Understand? To be human means what? That's why the Buddha is also very wise. Why do we divide mankind into all the races? Into all the different religion, belief system? That's how conflict arise, Krishnamurti say. Difference of opinion. Because he said, you create thought, thought create words to divide mankind. When you divide mankind, what happened? One word, no, religion. Christian, Buddhist, Hindu, Muslim, and everything. Sorry. Everything start to surface already, you know. So, they will argue, they will fight. There's a religious war, understand? Then because of race also they fight, understand? There's like Asian, Western, everything. Then among Western also got so many. Then among us, Chinese also got dialect and all those things. So, when you have all this division, thought divide, it create misunderstanding, conflict. That's why we have war and all this. So why can't we have an education system, he said, where we understand we are all the same. We are not different. All of humanity is one. Why should you divide? He said, the moment you divide, you are violent. Understand? Means you creating conflict. You are trying to fight. You are trying to make yourself more superior than others. So the new education system is actually based on Dhamma understanding. What did the Buddha say? The physical form and mind is not you. So if the physical form and mind is not me, then why do I attach to this physical that define I'm Chinese because of the color of my physical form, understand, and the language I speak, or the culture I am being born into, and the religious belief that I hold. So all this is going to create misunderstanding. Then we have male, female, understand? All these are duality created by thought through words, through concept. And we created it because we attach to the physical form. That's why you have to learn how to see form, see the unreality of form. Then only you can have the wisdom to see beyond form. That is what the Buddha's teaching is all about. Form is impermanent. Form leads to suffering. Form is anatta, not a permanent unchanging entity. That's why you cannot hold on to it, cling on to it and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, all this can be mine. And that is what the teaching is all about. So Krishnamurti wants you to do away with all the division. It's just like in Malaysia. Why you want to have all the races and religion that create all this conflict? Why can't we call ourselves Malaysian? We are all Malaysian. Those that need help, we help. But of course, there are other arguments and all those things. So when you have all those things which is mundane, it will not solve your problem. What you need is supramundane wisdom to see beyond all this. So what the Buddha teaches, when I can see form is not real, not me, impermanent, lead to suffering, then what if I see beyond form? What do I see? When I don't take the form seriously, then we are no longer so different, isn't it? You don't have a male appearance, you don't have a middle age, or maybe elderly age, or young and all those things. All this division, no more, isn't it? Then we are no longer Chinese, white skin, black skin, no more. We are similar. You got a mind, I also got a mind. Not so different already, isn't it? So we got less problem, isn't it? Then we look at the mind. Hey, the mind can still argue, no? Your views, your opinion, your religious belief system, your conditioning, like we went through, we can still argue, no? Right and wrong. So the Buddha say you have to see beyond mind. That's why he say mind also unreal, not you. It's also impermanent, lead to suffering, non-self, not a permanent unchanging entity. So when you look beyond mind, then what do you see? You have a pure nature, your true mind. Mind also pure nature, true mind, no word, no concept. Then we are no longer different now. That's why all humanity is one. Man and nature is one. If we destroy nature, nature will destroy you. But you are one. You can never see. You can never understand. That is what wisdom is. But that type of education, how to teach? You understand? No greed. No selfishness. The world is not what you think. If you are so religious, you don't cheat, don't everything, you think you can survive in such a competitive world or not? Yeah? But those who have Dhamma can. No problem. Understand not? They don't have to cheat. They don't have to be selfish. They don't have to lie. And yet, they can become beautiful. They can live life to the fullest. They can have all those understanding. But this is the problem. Not everybody can be trained and develop that type of understanding to live the life of an enlightened being. So this is what is the problem of society, problem of mankind, problem of the world. So Krishnamurti said the only way to change is just this. He said, we, each and every one of us, we must have an internal transformation, revolution. Without that, nothing can happen. And he's talking about every one of us now. You know why? We are the summation of what? We are the summation of all the beings on this planet. Understand? Every one of it, the summation of it, is what the world consciousness is all about. So this world consciousness depends on the individual, understand? If the individual change, the world consciousness change. You understand? Then everybody is enlightened being, understand? Like in the Theravada Sutta, it's mentioned, there are certain world systems, everybody minimum 5 precept one. Yeah, there are such a world system. You heard of that, right? You haven't heard of that? Last time, Reverend Suwano in Penang, every time, talk about that Sutta one. There are certain world system, minimum 8 precept one. Then in the Pure Land, everybody is Amitabha Pure Land, everybody is sainthood and above one. If you have that type of society, then can. Then everybody can have that understanding. But at the moment, it's near to impossible. That's why Krishnamurti say, forget about having such school, such education. Because the teacher himself also don't have the understanding and the qualification to teach. You understand? And how can the kid understand? Cannot. It's an individual thing. It's a lot to do with karma. A lot to do with the nature's law and the understanding. Okay? So I hope I answer your question. Because the conditioning comes from our education system, the way we are exposed to life, the media, now the internet, understand not? Then the teachers in your school, then like for your grandchildren, the grandpa, of course, have an influence on him. Isn't it? Then the parent also have an influence on him. Then I got a sister who, last time, because he got 4 children, he's too busy. The last one, he hired an Indonesian maid. And you know what happened? The daughter, the youngest one, grew up, don't know how to speak Hokkien. Speak Indonesian only to the maid. Oh. My daughter, no. And you know what happened? He don't want the mother, he don't want the brother, the sister, he want to with that Indonesian maid. Well, that was the conditioning. Yeah. Then he learned the hard way. After that, he spent more time with her daughter. Then luckily, he discontinued the Indonesian maid. Then become normal again. Otherwise, you can have a lot of... Well, all these people condition them, influence them. And this is what society is all about. The more we evolve, we will become different again and depend on your karma, how you can get conditioned into. But if you got good karma like myself, nothing can condition me. I understand things on my own. I better finish this one, if I agree, otherwise not enough time. What is the next?
Thank you.
Thank you. Are you 5:30? You're supposed to have dinner what time? 5:30? Dinner 5:30. Oh, then we continue after dinner. I just summarize for you what happened. Oh, 1 more minute. Oh, then my wife timekeeper. So just now I finished feeling, perception. Perception and your thinking is the same. Your views, your opinion. Then whatever you perceive, if you attach, you will have suffering. Like you attach to your school, your country, your race, your belief system, you create division, you create suffering, argument. That's why all this create problem. That thinking, your mind state, when you are not happy, you become emotional. You become full of worry, anxiety, fear. And you don't like this mind state as well. Then you enter depression. So these are all the various thinking, your views, your opinion, your mental state. You attach to them, you become afflicted, miserable, suffering. Then consciousness also same. When you are conscious, that thing that you are conscious, if you attach, you cling, you will suffer. But this is what life is all about. Whatever you see, you don't like, what happened? Angry already, does that not? Or unpleasant feeling, the emotion. Then you want to get emotional, angry, react out of it, and you want to do something about it. But when you see something that you love, you attach, you try to possess it and own it, if you can't get it, what happens? You become miserable again. then you suffer again, isn't it? So not everything is for sale, understand? Not everything is available for you to buy, understand? There are certain things money cannot buy. So even you very wealthy, also people don't want to sell to you, you cannot have it. So a lot of things is not up to you, it's the world. So it's just like yesterday there was a video. They bid for one very rare gemstone. Then after they bid, they cut open, really so beautiful. Then somebody straight away approached that guy. He said, it's like he bid for, I think, 3 million. Somebody just come and offer him, I buy from you 5 million. Then another guy say, forget about him, I buy from you 10 million. Then another guy came. He said, here nobody can outbid me. He said, I give you 100 million. Then one lady appeared. The lady is the biggest jewelry shop owner in Hong Kong. This guy also had to respect her. Huh? You also want to bid? Then give it to you. You understand? Sometimes got money, if you think you can buy, but there are somebody who is wealthier than you, you cannot buy, understand? So the first one he reject was normal. But when the 100 million was offered, that guy still reject. No? You know why? Because he got a buyer, that lady, understand? That is willing to pay double, 200 million. That's why he cannot outbid this girl. Because this girl is in this line, the daughter of the very wealthy guy. So what I'm trying to tell you is, all these five aggregates you cannot attach. Then the second aspect is the mental five aggregates. The Buddha say, not only as a human being. So this one is a human being. As a human being. The second aspect is the mental five aggregates of form and mind. Oh, form and mind. So this mental one, you have to go back to these four aggregates of mind. Okay? Our mind can feel, can perceive, can think, or arise mental state, sankhara, and consciousness. But how did the form, the mental form, enters the mind? Through your perception, isn't it? So this perception brings the mental form form into mind. Well, whatever you perceive is the external form. Like the Buddha image, external form. How do you bring it to your mind? Well, you perceive it, understand? Not? It enters your mind. Like my voice, you perceive it, it goes into the mind. So the four aggregates of mind plus what you perceive, which becomes the mental form, add together become the five aggregate of form and mind. And this is what the Buddha is interested in. This second aspect is what the Buddha is trying to explain in his teaching, the dwelling or paticca-samuppada, the dependent origination. He said, we function as a human being, our mind functions this way. This five aggregate of form and mind, which is your thought, understand? Thought is just consciousness and its content. This consciousness is like a receptacle. Before you input the content, it's just like empty. That's why the Buddha said, in the seeing is only the seeing consciousness, without the content. But the moment you input your views, opinion, and conditioning, the content went in. That's why these three aggregate. These are the content of consciousness. And this is the one that you have to be careful. Actually, it's only sankhara. That's why everything that your mind can do is sankhara. And sankhara is inclusive of these two, feeling and perception. Well, if you read Abhidhamma, it is stated very clearly. Feeling and perception is part of sankhara. But the Buddha separated it because these two aggregate has very good teaching value. Feeling is under Vedana Nupassana. Mindfulness of feeling. That's why this one is separated. Then perception is the one that brings the external form into the mind. That's why the Buddha also separated it. Yeah. So that he can actually explain the teaching to you. So with this, we can go for dinner. Well, after I come back, the Heart Sutta book, I think first chapter is this. So no need to explain it. Everyone can save time. Yeah? Okay? Yeah. Sadhu. 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 Okay, let's go for dinner. Yeah? You can develop the habit, pay respect to Triple Gem before you go. Eh? Yeah. Then request, thank them for their protection, guidance and blessing. Yeah.